believing that during this time frame that we have together, in these days today as well as the days to come, that there will be an unveiling, there will be a revelation, there will be an understanding. Father, that the light that will shine will enlighten our eyes as to the inheritance that is yours in the saints. My God, let us come to the realization that we are playing a part. Father, just a minuscule part, but a part nevertheless that is necessary, the part that is ordained of God, that you might have what it was at the end of the day. Father, in its total and absolute completeness. Father, that it will not only be in your image, in your shape and form, but Father, it will be also in your likeness. So Father, we come this morning to give to you our minds. We come this morning to give to you our hearts. We come to give you our soul, that you might find that position, that place of preeminence, Lord, and that you might have the liberty to move within our soul, Father, to bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring the word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When Moses went up on the mountain, and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, hallelujah, I believe the heavens opened up to him, and I believe he saw a manifestation. I don't believe that he just heard a voice. Hallelujah. Because Moses desired to see the face of God. God in his wisdom, God in his mercy, knew that Moses would not be able to stand that position or that the stress or the strain that that sight or that revelation would bring. So he said unto Moses, I will show you my hinder parts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what does that mean, hinder parts? Hallelujah. It meant that God was going to show Moses the truth about what happened in the beginning. Hallelujah. Because he had to go back to the beginning in order for Moses to know and understand the position or the place that he was in. He needed Moses to understand the relevance of the architectural drawing that he was going to give him. It wasn't something that God just gave Moses as a blueprint on a piece of paper, but it was a detailed, architectural, engineered design by the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it entailed all of the ramifications and all of the specifications, what were going to be needed in order for this thing to accomplish what it was that it needed to accomplish. And it had to be a working model. Hallelujah. So Moses had to be translated. He had to be brought back to the beginning, because it was really Moses who wrote the first five books of the Bible. Hallelujah. And he didn't write them as a person that was hearing somebody say something. He wrote it as a witness to what was going on. Now, you can call me crazy. You can call me a lunatic. You can call me a fanatic. You can call me anything you want to. But I know that in God, the time and space is nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I know without any doubt whatsoever, that when God showed Moses his hinder parts, hallelujah, he brought Moses back to the very beginning, and Moses, as an eyewitness, began to make a record of what it was that he was seeing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? He says, in the beginning, there was chaos and destruction and all kinds of confusion that was going on. Hallelujah. It was like as though he was seeing it. It was like as though he was experiencing it. And his writings and the method in which he was using and the words that are portraying, it is not just portraying a thought or an idea. It's like a picture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I think sometimes, I don't think in words. I think in pictures. Hallelujah. And I guess that's because of my building experience or my position or my place of being a carpenter, because when I was given a plan, I wasn't seeing the structure of it so much as seeing the finished product. Hallelujah. And I don't mean just the finished building itself, but I saw the landscaping, the shrubs, and all of the things around it. And I built according to what I saw in my mind. And I followed the plan, of course, but my goodness, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My mother used to say to me, a picture is worth a thousand words. Hallelujah. And I'm finding that to be true. Hallelujah. And then when that had all been done, hallelujah, hallelujah, Moses wasn't just sitting up there for 40 days and 40 nights twiddling his thumb, wondering what was going to come next. God at the whole time was showing him and developing. And as he gave Moses the plan and the purpose of the tabernacle. Now you have to understand, Moses is considered to be a prophet. Now I don't know if you know too much about the prophetic nature of God, but the prophetic nature of God is something that works on the basis of promise. But the promise is on the basis of what he knows and what he is hoping for and what it is that he is desiring to come forth at the end of the day. Hallelujah. And he had to give Moses the mechanics, and he had to give Moses the understanding of how the mechanics work. Hello? So as he was giving Moses this layout of the tabernacle, and as he was distributing the thought of the position or the place of each piece of furniture, each piece of furniture was a representation of a symbolic thing that was going to happen. Hallelujah. It was a prophetic word. When they put that brazen altar there right in front of the gate, hallelujah, it was a prophetic word. There was going to be a lamb that was human, that was come, that would be sacrificed on that altar for the sake of the sins of the world. Hallelujah. The altar, and every time they walked to the altar, and every time they performed the ritual, every time they did what it was that they had to do according to the instructions that was given Moses. Hallelujah. Because Moses was not just to build it in a particular way. Moses was to handle it also in a particular way. And he had oversight of the operation of it. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses, hallelujah. No wonder they call him a prophet. Hallelujah. And one of the great prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Moses understood the reality of it. Do you understand me? He understood that it wasn't the blood of sheep and goats. He understood that it wasn't just something of ritual that had to be performed every year. He knew that at the end of the day, there was a man called coming who was called Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that man would be sacrificed, and his blood would be the redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Moses was going to die, hallelujah, he knew when he was going to die. Hallelujah. Because God said, I'm going to take you. It's time for you to leave now. He says, come up into the hill. Now, if you were Moses, what would you do? If you had the understanding of the prophetic, if you had the understanding of the operation, if you have the understanding of the blood, if you had the understanding that that sacrificial thing that you were sacrificing was a substitute for your sin, what would you do? I'd take me a lamb, and I would go up there on the hill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And prior to the advent of me passing, I would slit the thing of throat and let the blood move out and do whatever I needed to do with that blood in order to be an acceptable offering to God. Hallelujah. And it says body. God took the body. He wouldn't have took the body. Hallelujah. If the body had not been clean, if the body had not been sanctified by that blood. Hello? Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. Who was it that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with his body? Who was it? Moses. How did his body get there? Hallelujah. He had to go through death, but by virtue of the blood and the prophetic aspect of that blood, he was redeemed. Hallelujah. It said that Satan contended with the angel over Moses' body. Why did he contend? Because that body was supposed to belong to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Lord, the angel said, and the Lord rebuked thee. Hallelujah. He invoked the blood. Hallelujah. So the blood is something more than just a representation or a symbolic meaning. It is something that has power of redemption. It is something that has power to bring a instantaneous change to your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is something that is necessary for us to understand and grab hold of. It is something that is necessary for us to get our hands around, get our minds wrapped around it. Hallelujah. Because it is that blood that by that blood you are saved. Hallelujah. Not only by that blood you are saved, but that blood is in actuality working in your physical body. Hallelujah. There was a time, hallelujah, one of the times that Mavis was dying. We had come back from Africa, and she had this malaria that they didn't know anything about. Hallelujah. And she was very sick. And the doctors one day told Brother Dusil, we can't do any more for her. Hallelujah. She's on her way out. Hallelujah. And that night, Brother Dusil went in with the brother, and they laid hands upon her, and they prayed, God, hallelujah, let your blood touch her blood. Hallelujah. Let her blood touch her blood. Let her blood course through the blood in her veins. Loose. Hallelujah. He went home and went to bed. Hallelujah. Next morning he came, Mavis is sitting on the bed and says, what am I doing here? Hallelujah. We don't know the power of the blood. We think it's something that comes by virtue of salvation and then somehow or another it's relegated to a place in the closet. Hallelujah. You know, when you were born in the first place, you have blood in your veins. Hello? Hallelujah. And that blood had in it the compositional, the chemical, the genetic, the aspect of DNA, whatever you want to call it, everything that you were going to be was wrapped up in that blood. Hallelujah. And it was coursing through your veins. And when you were born again, hallelujah, something happened, something changed. Hallelujah. Because I don't believe that the blood is just upon me. I believe that the blood is inside of me. Yeah. Hallelujah. I believe there is an energy and a life by virtue of being born again. And I believe that that thought, that position, that place, that promise works in my physical body. Loose! Loose! Hallelujah. It can bring healing to my body. Hallelujah. It can bring health and vitality to my body. Hallelujah. And the thing that that blood feeds upon is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Not just the Logos, but the Rhema, the living, life, walking, talking blood of Jesus Christ that is inside of my blood, working in my being to bring health and vitality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're always using the blood to get out of trouble. Hallelujah. When trouble is the thing that we need to be in, that we might know the power of the blood. Hallelujah. He was a flesh and bone, he was a flesh and blood man, walking, talking. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Yes. Hallelujah. And it says that he was afflicted with all of our diseases. Hallelujah. When was he afflicted? Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line between the time he was born and the time he died, he had to be afflicted. Hallelujah. Maybe it was one of those times he went up on the mountains to pray all night. I don't know. Hallelujah. But he had coursing within his veins. Not the human blood, but he had the coursing in his blood. The human quality of blood, but it was energized by the Spirit of the Father. It's the same blood. Adam, in the very beginning, when he moved and was breathed, when he was breathed into by the Spirit of the Father. Lusa makotum. Adama kotaita. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just think it's some sort of spiritual experience. I'm born again. I've got out of hell and I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. It's physical. I believe it. It's physical. It's physical. Hallelujah. It's inside of me. Hallelujah. It's no different when God was making Adam back there in the very beginning. He was bringing this mud and dirt together and packing it and forming it and fashioning it. Hallelujah. And all heaven and hell was watching him. Hallelujah. They could not even conceive or perceive what it was that he was making. And something that he was making was a little bit lower than that which was made up by the compositeness of the angels. Hallelujah. So in some ways, in some respect, it seemed to be something of lesser value. Hallelujah. But they did not know the mind of God. They did not know the plan and the purpose of God. That thing that is mud was one day going to be lifted up out of the mud and become the position, the place of the inheritance of the Father. Loose! Loose! We fight so tenaciously, to fight so ferociously, to hang on to our human identity. Hallelujah. Oh yes, I can be a friend of yours, just don't get too much and don't step on my space. Hallelujah. You know, we are plagued by programming. Hallelujah. And by the way, I am talking to you about tabernacle today. I showed you two representations of the tabernacle yesterday. Hallelujah. I showed the vertical one, and now I'm going to talk about the horizontal one. Because it's first the natural, and then it's the spiritual. Hallelujah. And if you don't do what needs to be done in the natural arena, if you don't accomplish what you need to do in the natural arena, did you hear it? We have a responsibility. Yes. Hallelujah. When you are born again, and I'll get into that. When you are born again, hallelujah. When you come to this position, when you come to this place, when you come to this brazen altar, hallelujah. And you are born again, hallelujah. The process of creation has started all over again. Do you hear me? When Adam was formed of the dust of the dirt, when Adam was brought into that position, of that place of being formed, it says God breathed into him. Woo! Can you imagine God don't breathe? Hallelujah. But breathing, you have to exhale. There's something that comes out of you. Hallelujah. And when it says that Elohim breathed into Adam, hallelujah, that means that something that was in Elohim, hallelujah, the total capacity of what is in Elohim. You know, I talked to you about DNA and genes. What DNA and genes are a representation of the composition of what is in God, only it's down on a lower level. Hallelujah. Because when you talk about God, you talk about his omniness. Huh? Omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, all-knowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of those, that characteristics of who and what he is. That's why Jesus could say to Philip, hallelujah. Have I been so long with you that you do not see, that you do not know? Hallelujah. If you see me, you see the Father. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. Look in the mirror. Hallelujah. What do you see? Oh, you see you. Hallelujah. Because you don't know or you don't believe in the reality of what really happened to you. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen somebody physically change when they get born again? I have. We were having a home fellowship meeting and this woman came in. Hard woman, hard life. Hello? Hallelujah. One of the street women, she came in. Hard features. She looked older than what she was. She was in her late 20s, early 30s, but she looked like she was 50, maybe going on 60. Hallelujah. And she came in and she sat through the whole meeting. And at the end of the meeting, she asked us to pray for her. So we laid our hands on her and prayed for her. Hello? Hallelujah. She accepted the Lord, you know, and I didn't have to tell her what to repent of. Hallelujah. It was all bottled up inside of her. We tell people what they need to repent of. How do I know what you need to repent of? Huh? How do I know what you need to repent of? You know, I want to know why some people fluctuate in their salvation? Because their salvation is like a halfway experience. They have not confessed their sins with their own mouth. Hallelujah. I was in a meeting and I batted and this little 8-year-old boy gets up. Praise God for the children. Hallelujah. Gets up and we had been talking about the baptism and he wanted to know, how do you get raised up? So we were in there, we're explaining and talking with him and sharing with him, and I'm beginning to, he's beginning to understand. And I said, are you born again? Hallelujah. He said, no. I said, do you want to be born again? He said, yes. Hallelujah. I said, well, you have to pray. You have to confess your sins. You have to tell God how naughty you've been and what it is that you do, and you have to repent for it, and you have to ask him to forgive you for it. And I didn't have to tell him how to pray. He just opened his mouth and began to confess. Hallelujah. Went down through a whole long list of things that were in his little mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he got born again. Hallelujah. And that young boy will remember that experience from that point on for the rest of his life. Loose. Some people can't even tell me when they were born again. Hallelujah. If you can't tell me when you were born again, if you can't recite the experience, if you can't explain the situation or the sacrament, you need to check out your position of salvation. I bet every one of you remember when you were born in the natural. Huh? Yeah. Well, most everybody knows when they were born. Because everybody's got a birthday, right? And you want somebody to recognize you on your birthday, right? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, that's one of the maladies of humanity. Our natural birth is more real to us than our spiritual birth. Now, I'm going to touch something. You might get mad at me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when I was born again, I was not born of the will of man, not born of the will of flesh. I was born of the will of the Father. And that being born again canceled out everything else that I was in the natural arena. So in the natural arena, as far as God is concerned, I don't exist. Now what if I ask you to celebrate my birthday? Good. I'm glad you had the right answer. Hallelujah. What if I ask you to celebrate my birthday? Or I get mad at you because you did not recognize my birthday. I get upset with you. I stop talking. You know, and I huff and puff around. Hallelujah. That's the power it has over us. Let somebody forget your birthday, dear. Hallelujah. You've been looking forward to it. It gets closer and closer and closer and closer. And you've probably been talking about it to this one or that one and saying, well, you know what I like? Maybe I can get this. Maybe I get that, get that, get that. And your birthday rolls around and nobody knows it. Or at least nobody says anything. They don't get up in the morning and say, happy birthday. Huh? What happens? The rest of your day is ruined. Hallelujah. Why? Because you didn't get the satisfaction of the preeminence of the requisition as you, as a natural person. Hello? Oh, come on, brethren. Hallelujah. I've been married a long time. And I know that in marriage, some of these things are very, very critical and can cause great deals of trouble. Hallelujah. But what if I act? What if I want my birthday celebrated? What am I doing? I'm reestablishing. I'm going back. I'm taking a backward step. Ooh, look, we talk about sanctification. We talk about purification. Hello? Hallelujah. There are some things that we have to give up. And I'm not telling you to give it up. I'm telling you to go to God and ask Him about it. Hallelujah. It says, we are no longer subject to the flesh to follow the dictates of the flesh. And if I want somebody to recall my birthday, hello, I am not only moving backwards in time and space, but I am also invoking the familiar spirits that are over my life. And I'm giving them license to come and vex me. Loose! Loose! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can say amen or oh me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was in a meeting. Hallelujah. In Nigeria. Hallelujah. And they were going to christen this child. Now, I'm not against christening, but it has to be done by the Holy Spirit. It has to be done by the leading of the Lord. Hallelujah. And they were playing this, I call it African jive gospel. Hallelujah. It's really upbeat, and your body begins to move. Music from the Lord is supposed to move your soul, not your body. Your body will respond in a holy, righteous way if the music is sanctified music. If it's not sanctified, then there are parts of your body that are moving that shouldn't be moving. And if you don't think people are not looking and watching, you're mistaken. Hello? So anyway, they were playing this. They had the bongos and the drums going and all of that, that business up there. And all of the relatives on each side of the family were there. They were lined up, you know, mother, father, grandma, grandpa, great-grandpa, aunts, uncle, aunt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they were celebrating the birth of this child. Well, praise the Lord, celebrate, but not in a manner or fashion that is harmful to the child. And as they begin to lay hands on the child and chant, they had this chant they were chanting. I don't know, it was a foreign language to me. I couldn't understand it, but I understood the spiritual intent, because into the room started coming spirits. This coming spirit started to come into the room. And as they came into the room, they were laying hands on the child, and those spirits were claiming the inheritance of the family on that child. Please. The Bible says, to whom you submit your members. Romans 6:16, whom you submit your members. Servants to obey his servants ye are. Hallelujah. So in reality, they just gave that child to the devil. And they covered it up with a lot of Pentecostal hoopla. And if you don't think the devil's in the church business, you're wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He invented the organizational denominational church. Denomination means a church that is divided and split from something else. Hallelujah. Nomination, the lowest common denominator is something of a fraction that you learn in school concerning fractions. You're always dividing down to the lowest common denominator. And we have the gall to call it denomination. Hallelujah. We are by virtue admitting to the position of our transgression in that thing that we are participating in that divides us from God. not only from God, but from each other. Of course, now they have the ecumenical thing where they're all trying to come together in one way or another. But again, here we have the globalization. We have the globalization of a satanic church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Not just some of them. Hallelujah. You'll keep my commandments. That means you will keep all my commandments. You will do what I did. You do as I did, and not as somebody else says that you should do. Hallelujah. If you ever want to know where the reality of death to self, just pick up your Bible and read about the saints of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. You know you should memorize it. Hallelujah. You really should. You should memorize it. Hallelujah. So you know the reality, what it means to be a sacrifice. Hallelujah. So when you come into this operation of the tabernacle, there is a prophetic promise. There is a prophetic promise that God will, that you have been, begun something that God has given you the opportunity to participate in, and he is promising, if you do your part, I'll do my part. Come on. Isn't that scripture? Wasn't it? What scripture am I thinking about? Come on, read my Bible. Huh? If you draw to God, he will what? What do I have to do to get God to draw nigh to me? I have to initiate the drawing. I have to be the one. I have to make the first step. Hallelujah. I have to reach out to him first and foremost. Hallelujah. Loose! Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Do you understand the reality of what I'm saying? I'm talking about sanctification, by the way. Hallelujah. You have a God who is eternal. Hallelujah. He's eternal. Do you hear me? He's eternal. The God I know is eternal. Hallelujah. Here is eternity up here. Praise the Lord. It has no beginning. Hallelujah. And it has no end. Left to right. No end. Hebrews left to right, isn't it? He has no end. No beginning, no end. Let's turn them around for our sake. It has no beginning. Hallelujah. It has no end. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. But we have a God who is eternal. He has no beginning, he's no end. What is the problem here? He called himself Alpha. He called himself Alpha. Alpha. And he called himself Omega. You see? You understand? He's a God that has a beginning and has an end. Why does a God that has a beginning and end have no beginning and no end? Huh? He only has it for one reason, because he's talking about a time frame. He's talking about a space, a glimpse in the realm of eternity that is called time. And in that realm of eternity, hallelujah, and that realm of time, there is a specific thing he wants accomplished. There's a specific chore that he wants to have done. Hallelujah. So he's the starter of it, and he's the finisher of it. Do you remember what Jesus Christ said when he was on the cross? What did he say? He said, it is finished. Hallelujah. What was finished? It was finished that those things that he was supposed to do that would give you and I the power, the exousia power, to perform and to do according to his dictates as well as according to his desires. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, brethren, you know, when I got saved, hallelujah, It is not because I love God. Oh, shocker. Hallelujah. How would I love God? I didn't know who God was. All I knew was heaven and hell. And I was convinced there was a heaven, and I was convinced there was a hell. And somehow God got mixed all in the midst of it. And the only way I could get out of it was to call on this entity that they called God. Hallelujah. Repent of my sins. Hallelujah. And I could what? Get out of hell. Because I would be going to heaven. Oh, it was different with you, right? Hallelujah. You know, brethren, doesn't that little sound a little self-preservative? Hallelujah. But you know, the Lord, he really doesn't care how self-preservative it is as long as you do it. Because he lets you know the truth after you do it. Hallelujah. And he begins to lead you in a particular way, in a particular manner, and he begins to manifest himself, and that knowledge and that awareness and that type of fellowship begins to create within you a desire to know more. Why did you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Did you get baptized when you got born again? No. Hallelujah. Why did you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why? Because born again, something inside of you became alive. And you became aware of this entity that is called the Father. You became aware of him. Hallelujah. And something in your soul was reaching out to him. Reaching out to him. You know, when they told me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I got saved when I was 8 years old. I was in a Baptist camp up there in the Sierra Madres of California. Hallelujah. I remember the place. I remember the incident. I remember the thing that was going on. And this preacher was preaching hell's fire and brimstone. That's what Baptists do, by the way. Hallelujah. And you know what? Just for the sake of effect, you know what they did? They built this big fire behind him. So every time he would talk about hell, that fire would crack and pop and explode. Hallelujah. And I'm 8 years old, right? Hallelujah. Well, it put the fear of hell in me, and I wanted to get into heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when I was about 12 years old, I backslid into the world again. And I was into the world, and God called me out of it when I was 23. But in that time frame, I had developed a lot of habits and things that were just downright diabolical and nasty. Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I came back into the fold, so to speak, hallelujah, God began to deal with me in these arenas of my habitual living. Hallelujah. My mind, what it was focused upon, the language in which I spoke, the habits I had, and the things that I was involved in, he began to pick them off one by one. Why? He was telling me and showing me that of his nature. He was giving me a reality of his love for me, not as an individual who was just born, but as a son. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. I had a father who did not tell me he loved me until I was 28. Hallelujah. But the father that I came to know as my father, hallelujah, he demonstrated his love for me. He demonstrated the reality of it. He moved in so many miraculous ways to open my heart, open my soul, that my soul wanted deliverance from these environments in which I was entrapped and encased and encapsulated in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so somebody came to me one day and said, you know, what you need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, will it do something for me? Hallelujah. Whoa. I'm Baptist, right? Baptists don't believe in Holy Spirit baptism. Not in the States anyway. Not in the Southern Baptist Convention. If you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're speaking in the devil. Oh, yes, that's what they believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And you need to, and it will fix everything. Oh my goodness. That's just purely prophetic.
Not pathetic, prophetic.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And this Pentecostal church that I was going to, because you had to go to the Pentecostal church to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody was going to the Pentecostal church. I drove by one day and it says, Pentecostal Baptism of Holy Spirit Revival. I said, that's what I need.
Hallelujah.
1 whole week, 7 days. Oh, wow. 7 days. Surely I can get baptized in 7 days. Hello.
Hallelujah.
And so the first night they had it, I was the first one in the building. I was down in the front, and the guy was preaching. And I just wish he would stop preaching, give the altar call, so I could go up and get baptized. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
It's going to solve all my problems. I was a heavy smoker at that particular time.
Hallelujah.
And it's going to fix it. It's going to fix it. It's going to take it all away. Because I'm going to get this baptism. I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to feel the glory of God moving through me. And he's going to deliver me of these cigarettes.
Hallelujah.
You know, smoking, there's three stages to the smoking. The first one is you quit smoking. The second stage is you bum off of everybody else who has cigarettes. You quit buying.
Hallelujah.
I was in the second stage.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Or the third stage is where you got the ashtray full of butts and you don't have any cigarettes in the house and you need a cigarette. You take the cigarette out of the ashtray and light it up.
Oh, you guys never smoked, right? None of you smoked. None of you ever smoked. Don't ever stop smoking.
It had a hook in me. Had a hook.
Hallelujah.
And I wanted to be delivered from that hook, so I began to go to this Pentecostal church. And the first night, Monday night, they had this revival. And this guy's in there preaching. And I'm sitting there waiting.
Hallelujah.
And finally, he starts to say, and now we will have, and I was out of my seat. And I was down to the front, and I knelt down at that end, and I was saying, Lord, give me the baptism. Please. Of course, you never do anything like that, right?
Hallelujah.
Please give me the baptism. Give me. And there's a big crowd of people around me. They're laying hands on me. They're prophesying to me. They're talking in tongues. And they're saying, speak. And I'm speaking. But it's all in English.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So this went on for several days. Every night I was down there praying. Every night I was saying, oh God, give me.
Hallelujah.
You ever go, give me? It doesn't have to be just baptism. It can be anything.
Hallelujah.
We go back to God again and again. Give me. I need finances. I need healing. I need this. I need that. Give me.
Hallelujah.
Every night, Monday, Tuesday. And you know what? The crowd around me started getting smaller. And smaller. They all thought I was hopeless. This guy's been down here 5-6 times.
Hallelujah.
This is the 7th time down here. Don't waste your time.
Hallelujah.
There was a man by the name of Enoch. Isn't that amazing? His name was Enoch Christofferson.
Hallelujah.
He was a big turkey grower, very slender man. I can see him just today as the day he was there. A thin man, tall.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He just came up beside me. He knelt down beside me. He put his arm around me, and he was just loving me.
Hallelujah.
And he began to speak in tongues.
Hallelujah.
He wasn't telling me to speak in tongues. He was talking to the Father about me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that went on for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden he started talking in tongues. And the language he was talking, I was hearing the tongues in this ear. I was hearing the interpretation in this ear. The English.
Hallelujah.
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 And the Lord said to me, son, I have given it to you from the very first day, you have asked me. All you have to do is open your mouth and speak. And I open my mouth, and out comes this heavenly language. Oh my goodness. The Spirit came down in me. The Spirit was around me. I was rejoiced. I don't even know how I got home that night. I was laying in my bed. I would wake up speaking in tongues and praising the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'd go back to sleep. Hallelujah. And then I woke up. And the first thing I did, can you imagine what I did? I reached over on the end table. I got a cigarette. I stuck it in my mouth. And I lit it. Hallelujah. Without even real, and I said, oh, and I realized what I was doing. Hallelujah. And I said, oh my God, they lied to me. Devil was right there. Hallelujah. He was right there talking to me. Hallelujah. I got out of my bed. I was living with my mother at the time. Hallelujah. She had gone off on a little excursion with some other ladies, and she was out of town, and so I had the house to myself. I got up. I was so disgusted. I was so upset. I was so disappointed. I went into my mother's living room, and I shook my fist at the heavens, and I said, God, if you can't deliver me, kill me. Because I don't want to live in this condition. Hallelujah. Oh my. Do you know what happened? Well, I'm still alive. Hallelujah. God came down in that living room. He knocked me on the back of my head. I went down like a tree on the floor. Hallelujah. Face first into the rug. Boom. And then he laid down on top of me. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, brother, it was morning when I laid down or knocked down. But when I began to feel the deliverance, and boy, did I feel it. Hallelujah. It was night. It was dark outside. I don't know how long I laid there or what went on in that time frame, but there was something that God was doing down in the very depths of my soul. There were things that he was rooting out by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I was born, and I was born again, and I was elected. I was pushed into the place by which I might draw nigh to him, and he drew nigh to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he began to rise off of me, like Elijah laid on that dead boy, hallelujah, on that couch, hallelujah, and he breathed life into him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He grabbed me by the front of my head, the hair of my head, and he began to pull. Hallelujah. And it felt like he was skinning me alive. Hallelujah. What he was doing was taking away all of the filth. He was taking away of all that dead flesh. Ah! Loose! Hallelujah. And when I got up off of that floor, I was delivered. Yes! Not only was I delivered, but I was sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yes! Hallelujah. That doesn't mean I did not have to overcome. That doesn't mean I didn't have to struggle for fight, but that thing no longer had the power over my soul. It could not dictate what I would do and what I wouldn't do. I had the power of choice. Hallelujah. And I chose to be righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, it set a pattern. It set a pattern for me. If I want deliverance, if I want to know the reality of God, if I want to know the reality of His being, I have to die. I have to die. That means tribulation, trouble, fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't dare mumble and grumble about fire. Hallelujah. I can't complain about tribulation because I asked for it. I said, God, change me. Change me. Yeah. Hallelujah. And if I want to be changed from the Alpha to the Omega, I have to be willing to pay the price. Hallelujah. My salvation was free, but everything after that I have to pay for. By virtue of dying, coming into that position, that place of absolute obedience to the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah! It takes a mentality. Brother Jokey's always talking about the mind, the mind, the mind, the mind, the mind. It takes a certain mindset. Hallelujah. When David said, my heart is fixed. Hallelujah. He said, my heart is fixed. What do you mean? He says his mind, his emotions, his desires, they are set on one destiny. They are set on one position. They are set on one purpose. They have only one goal, and they're going to do everything that he possibly can do in order to attain that goal. Hallelujah. The mantle, the baton is being passed to you and to these children that are here. When I was in Ethiopia in 2012, hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me, the Father spoke to me by the Holy Spirit. He said, go after the children. My daughter-in-law several years ago was in her basement doing the laundry. And the Lord came to her and said, I have a question for you. How are you raising your children? She said, what do you mean, how am I? Are you raising them unto me? Are you raising them unto yourself? Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you raising your children to be? Engineers, doctors, lawyers? Under the authority of the Nigerian mentality, the Nigerian position of influence, tribal, and all the other things that go with it. I've been coming here for a very, 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 very long time. Hallelujah. I was riding on a train one day in India with Brother Dusil and Sister Mavis and my wife. And I was sitting by Brother Dusil. And those of you who have seen Brother Dusil know that him and I don't look a whole lot alike. Hallelujah. I was sitting there in a train discussing, and we were discussing the word. You know, one of the privileged things about Brother Dusil, everything he did, he turned it to the word of God. We'd be checking into a hotel, and he would be talking to this woman at the desk. Don't know who she is, don't know what her position is, but she would be talking to him about the sons of God. Hallelujah. A people that were going to come forth. Hallelujah. And we were sitting there on the bench talking to each other. And my wife was conversing with an Indian woman whose husband was sitting there across the aisle from us. And she looked at me and Brother Dusil talking. Hallelujah. And she said to my wife, now that's your husband, right? And Nancy said, yes, that's my husband. And the brother sitting beside him is his father. Nancy said, yes. I told Brother Dusil, I guess I finally made it. I made the transition between white and black. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, there's a position, there's a place of choice that we have to make concerning what it is we want.
You have to draw nigh to God. That means you don't just come in and get born again. You don't get just baptized in water. You don't get just baptized in the Holy Spirit. You don't get just the sonship message and move under the auspices of that message. You have to become the sonship message.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? You have to become the sonship message. You are the manifestation of that message. And your Nigerian mentality, your Togolese mentality, or your Ugandan mentality, or your Sierra Leone mentality has nothing to do with it. It has to die. Die. And if you're in this gospel and there is anyone teaching you, you can have the best of both worlds, I would run for my life, my spiritual life. Oh, there's lots of doctrines out there. Hallelujah. I was in Lagos maybe 25 years ago when, after all of the time and energy that had been poured into the ministry here in Nigeria, we met in a little office there in Lagos of a man that we knew and who we were staying with. And the church had decided to form a denomination. I was there. I was in the meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Brother Dusil told them, he said, if you do that, you have not just rejected me, but you have rejected the message. Hallelujah. Oh, no, 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 brother. We're not rejecting you. Yes, you're rejecting the message. I am the message. Hallelujah. You cannot separate the message from the person who's delivering the message. Now you can destroy the credibility of the person and therefore destroy the message, but you can't destroy the message per se. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe that's why God preserved me for so long. We're looking at what? The third generation? Is it about the third generation? Hallelujah. Since the beginning? Huh? Not the first, not the second, but the third generation of children that are coming forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How much farther along are you now than you were then? And how much farther along will your children be? Are you planning and propagating the same resume for your children? Hello? That was dished out to you as parents, as young adults, as those who want to have a family and start? Are you going to do the same things, the same way, and the same manner? Hello? Hallelujah. You know, you are supposed to be the governing force in the world. Not just the world, let's get it closer to home. You are supposed to be the governing force in Nigeria. And it's not by politics, it's not by bearing arms, it's by getting in a closet and moving and praying and supplementing, but it also means you and I have to die. I have to divorce myself from my Americanisms. I have to divorce myself from my German heritage, from my English heritage, from my American heritage. I have to divorce, kill it, die it, let it die, 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 die. Peace. Hallelujah. I was sitting on my bed many years ago. Hallelujah. And I was in a family crisis. Things were falling apart at the seams, and the devil was coming in and ripping and tearing and shredding. And I got a call. I got a call from Brother Dusil. He says, Brother Bird, I want to go to India. I said, Brother Dusil, hallelujah. You know what my situation is. You know what is happening. I can't leave my children. They are in a time of need. They are in a time of needing my support. They're in a time of my shoring up and standing as a bulwark against this monster that is trying to come in and rip and tear and shrunder and destroy their lives. Loose! I can't go. He said, well, brother, I want you to pray about it. Hallelujah. Because he knew I would pray about it if he asked me. If he wouldn't ask me, I wouldn't do it. Hallelujah. He says, will you pray about it? And I said, Brother Dusil, you know I will pray about it. And the time frame was getting down, getting down, getting down when you had to make the tickets and things of that nature.
And I'm coming in on my bed, and I've been wrestling with it, praying about it, wrestling, and I just sat down on my bed, and I was fixing to call Brother Duciel because I was going to tell him, I can't go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus walked in my door. He walked over and sat down on the bed beside me. He put his arm around me. Hallelujah. He just sat there quiet for a few moments, not saying a word, but I could feel the comfort. I was weeping on the bed because I was so torn, and I knew that God wanted me to go, but I couldn't go. Hallelujah. And I was weeping before the Lord. And that the Lord put his arm around me, and he just held me. And you know how you will tap somebody a little bit to comfort them. Hallelujah. He was tapping me. His arm was around me, and his hand was tapping me on the shoulder. And he leaned over to me, and he said to me, if you will go as unto me, I will do for your children what you cannot do. I don't know if you really understand the circumstances. It was hell. Things were breaking apart. The children were suffering. Hallelujah. Now, what would you do? I don't know. I know what I did. I says, okay, on your word. Remember what Mary said? According to your word, be it unto me as a handmaid of the Lord. I said, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Hallelujah. Now, you would think that that trip to India was really a very long trip. It was 4 weeks. We were going to be gone 4 weeks. Normally, we are gone 2 weeks. But this trip, we were going to be gone 4 weeks. That means I would be out of touch, basically, in some situation or another with my children. I wouldn't be able to call. We didn't have mobile phones, by the way, then. Hallelujah. This was probably 30 years ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we went to India. And, you know, it was wrestle, fight. I had to deal with it, the concern, the worry, the fear, dealing with it. And one night we're in a town called Hyderabad, and they have this five-star hotel there, a four-star hotel, called the Victoria. Now, on that particular day, I got sicker than a dog. I ate something, and therefore I was just sick. I couldn't get away from the room. Hallelujah. But they all went. Hallelujah. They all went. Hallelujah. And they came back with glowing reports, the food, the environment. Oh, and oh, by the way, we got to speak to everybody at home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't get to talk to my children one time on that trip. I had to wait until I got back. Hallelujah. But when I got back, there was something in me that was broken. Something in me that was fixed. Something in me that could say, God, they are in your hand. You do with them as you please. You do with them as is necessary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you really can't put family before God. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean you ignore your family. That doesn't mean that you don't take care of your family responsibilities. But you cannot put family before God. You have to go to God about your family. You have to have God speak to you about your family. God knows the issues, and he knows the situation. Hallelujah. And you know, I have seen God move so miraculously in the lives of my children. Hallelujah. Things were going haywire. They were going south. They were doing this. They were doing that. But every time, somehow, some way down the road, God turned the situation around, that what the devil meant for bad, God turned it to good. And I didn't have to do anything.
I just had to stop back, step back and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something that we have to pay, and God determines what it is that you have to pay. You don't determine it. You don't determine it. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, in 2012, now I'm going to tell you my wife's side of it a little bit. In 2012, you know, you ladies, you like a house, right? You got your kitchen, you got your cupboards, you got your utensils, you got the different storage places, and you know where everything is, right? Hallelujah. And that's your little home. That's your little heaven. That's your little spot in the world that's yours. Hallelujah. Let somebody come in and mess it up. Hallelujah. And you get a little irritated, a little aggravated, don't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we had been doing a great deal of travel. I retired when I was 63. Hallelujah. And this was several years after that. Hallelujah. We were involved in other things. Hallelujah. But the Lord decided to reactivate my traveling license. I had been set aside for about 5 years. And in 2009, He released me to start traveling. And I was traveling considerably. And my wife joined me around 2010 because we had things of responsibility we had to take care of, and we had to clear the table in order for her to be able to come and join me. And from 2010 to 2013 or 14, we traveled extensively. Hallelujah. We were probably back in the state, total accumulation, if you were to add it up at the most in any one of those years, we were probably in the States maybe 2.5 months, 3 months at the most. The rest of the time, we were traveling, going here, going there, going there, going there. And the whole time we were going, you know, you come back to your house and blah, blah, blah. And one day I'm sitting at the table, my wife comes in and she says, the Lord spoke to me. And I said, oh, really? What did the Lord say? He says, well, we're to give up the house. I said, give up the house? Now, the Lord had been talking to me about it, because you have all of that expense, you're not there. Hallelujah. But I wasn't going to make the suggestion. So I'm praying about it. I said, Lord, if this is really you, if this is something that you want to do, now I'm giving you some of her side of the story. And my wife likes her little house. Hallelujah. And she's very organized, and she knows where everything is, and she enjoys the comfort of it. She got her flowers, her baskets of flowers, her little garden, and all of those little things that women like to do. She has all of those things, and she enjoys them. She comes out one morning and says, I think we ought to get out and let the house go. We were renting it at the time. This is 2012. And I said, really? Really? Are you sure of this? Yes, I believe the real Lord really spoke that to me. And I wasn't going to make it easy on her. I said, well, are you sure it was the Lord? And you know, if you have to give it up, you won't have this, you won't have that, you won't have this and this and this and this and that. I said, it's going to be part of it. He said, no, I believe the Lord said that we should give it up. And I said, okay, praise the Lord, I'm in agreement. And then she didn't say, what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So December 31st, hallelujah, we had December 31st, 6 o'clock in the evening, we walked out, locked and shut the door on an empty house. And we traveled from 2012 to about 2015 to 2016. Hallelujah. Me and her traveling. And you know, that can really wear a person down, especially if they don't have the physical or physical strength, or there is some fragility with regards to the body. And also, when we come back to the States, we'd have to stay with one of our children. Hallelujah. And you know, you do that for 3 years. Hallelujah. You ever live with anyone for a duration of time? It's their house, their kitchen, their things. Hallelujah. Even if they are your children.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So there is a price that you and I have to pay if we are wanting to do the will of God. And every time we pay the price, it works something in our character. It works something in our being. It works something of a revelation of God's ability to supply and to meet the demand and to give you what it is that you really need. Not what I think I need, but what He knows that I need. Yes. Hallelujah. And you know, we had to cut down on the creature comforts. We don't have the different things that a lot of people have because we are more interested in investing our lives for the sake of our children and for the sake of the body of Christ into the things that pertain to something that is not temporal. Yeah. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of Brother Leonard Ravenhill? Huh? You've heard of him? He was a man of God, hallelujah, 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. He grew up with some of the great men of God, hallelujah. He knew John Wilkes Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. Many of these men of God were his mentors, were his tutors, and he was a prophet to the organized Pentecostal church. And you know, they were afraid of him because he told them the truth. And most of the time when he went to a conference, he spent more time preaching to them than he did to the congregation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he was telling a little story one time about somebody, and he was telling of this man. He was talking about men like Charles Finney. Have you heard of Charles Finney? You should go on the line. If you haven't heard of these men, you should go online and look into them and download some of the literature that talks about them. Hallelujah. I don't know. Have you heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Have you heard of him? Hallelujah. He was a very great healer who was gifted with the ministry of healing. Hallelujah. But all of these people, they suffered for the sake of what it was they believed. And that's the thing I want to impress upon you, because what he said, these men had eternity stamped on the back of their eyeballs. Do you understand what I'm saying? So everything they looked at was not looked at in a natural arena. What they looked at was not from a natural perspective, but they were looking beyond the natural into the spiritual realm to see the eternal aspect of what it was and how it would be working in their lives and in the lives of those people around them. Hallelujah. Charles Finney was a great man of God. He was a lawyer. Hallelujah. But he was more involved in the ministry than he was in law. Hallelujah. And a man invited him one day to come to his factory. Hallelujah. I guess he wanted to impress Charles Finney as to his prosperity and his place of business and the prosperity that it was bringing to him. He was not interested in the man's machinery. He wasn't interested in the man's prosperity. He was interested in the workers that were in the factory that were making the man richer. Hallelujah. And the man met him at the door and began to walk him through the factory. And as he walked down the aisle, men began to fall. Women begin to fall on the floor, until when he once reached the end of the avenue, all the factory was down, face on the floor, repenting and asking God to save their soul. What kind of power is that? How did he get it? Huh? You think he just sat around until God endued him and gave it? He spent hours on his faith. He spent hours in the closet. He spent time and energy seeking the face of God. Loose! Hallelujah. And there was a lot the man had to give up in order for him to be in that position, in that place. Smith Wigglesworth was probably one of the greatest men who had the gift of healing. And this man, Smith Wigglesworth, who healed dead men, who restored limbs, who healed people of cancer, hallelujah, He had a problem. He had gallstones. He could not get rid of gallstones. He passed over 150 gallstones. Have you ever passed a gallstone? A kidney stone? Hallelujah. Brother Jijoki, is it a pleasant experience? It's very painful. Hallelujah. One day he's ministering the word of God and he gets this attack, this gallstone attack. He turns around, he walks off the stage. And about 10 minutes later, he comes back and he finishes his preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, one thing about healing, in the true sense, when you lay hands on a person, there is a transference of that thing to the person who is praying. Hallelujah. I was in Czech Republic, and there was this boy there, there's brother who had a problem, and these other brothers rushed up to pray for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as they were praying for him, I saw the thing that was on the person whom they were praying jump on one of the men. Hallelujah. And we had to take the man out and pray for him. Loose! Hallelujah. The Bible says that you and I are not supposed to lay hands. There is a price you have to pay. And if you haven't paid the price, there's something going to happen that's going to get you to the place where you are willing to pay that price. If you are really sincere about your position of sanctification. Hallelujah. 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 I'm just talking about being born again. Hallelujah. Do you understand the ramifications of what it means to be born again? Hallelujah. When God breathed into Adam, when the Elohim breathed into Adam, and it says Elohim, it doesn't say God, by the way. It says Elohim. So it's talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the total capacity of that Godhead. Hallelujah. Was in that position, and out of that Godhead came a force of energy, energized energy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when it hit that hunk of clay shook and moved and stood up in flesh and blood. Yes! It not only had flesh and blood, it had within the blood. Hallelujah. The totality and capability and potentiality of that which was breathed into him. Because it says he became a living soul. What happened to you when you got born again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You were just a hunk of clay. You were a dead man. You were a dead soul, dead woman, dead child, dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there was an energy, and there was an exhaling of God into your soul, into your being, into the very fabric of your flesh. Please! The Bible says, I'm not born after the will of man. It says, I'm not born after the will of flesh. I'm not born after this will or that will. I'm born after the will of the Father. Why do I call him Father? Hallelujah. Why do you call him Father? Or maybe you just call him God. Huh? Hallelujah. He's not just God. He's my Father. He's your Father. I'm of his family. I'm of his blood. Hallelujah. That's why I call you brother. Hallelujah. Which is the reality? Which is the reality? That which is temporal or that which is eternal? Oh, I think that which is temporal is the focus on which we look at. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was getting ready to go to Africa. It was the night before. Hallelujah. This happened a couple of years back. Maybe 5-6 years ago. I was getting ready to go,
It was 9 o'clock at night. I was leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning to make my way to the airport. Hallelujah. And I get a call from one of my sons. And he said, Dad. I said, hello. I called his name. I said, how you doing? Oh, Dad, I'm not doing too good. I said, what's the matter? He said, well, Dad, I'm in trouble. Oh, I said, oh, what kind of trouble? Well, Dad, I'm getting arrested. I said, you're getting arrested? Yeah, I'm sitting in the back seat of a police car. I said, in a police car? I said, son, what in the world did you do to find yourself in the back of a police car? And he went into the details of it and so on, so on. And it wasn't nothing that was deliberately provoked. It was just something that he did that was stupid. Something that he shouldn't have done, and he should have known better, but nobody was hurt. He wasn't harming but he broke a law, and somebody called him and turned him in, and he got arrested. Hallelujah. Now, I have a decision to make. I'm leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to Africa. Hallelujah. I have a son that is going to be locked up tonight, and he's going to be in jail tomorrow. Hallelujah. What would you do? What would you do? Huh? I know what I wanted to do. I wanted to cancel the trip, go down to the jail in the morning, find out what happened, get him a good lawyer, try to get him out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or at least, if nothing else, comfort him. Huh? What would you do? I said, son, all I can do for you is pray for you. And he said, but Dad, I said, son, all I can do is pray for you. And so I prayed for him. I prayed that God would give him peace. I prayed that God would make sure that he learned his lesson. And I said, God bless you. I'm going to Africa. And the minute I hung up the phone, I called his older brother. I said, Barak. Nope, I didn't mean to call his name. I said, your brother's in trouble. This is what it is. This is where he's at. I said, you need to go and touch base tomorrow to find out what's going on. And I said, if there's any money you need, I've left some in my top right drawer here in the office in my house. You can come in and get it and use whatever there is of it if it's if you need so. And I went to Africa. Hallelujah. You know, God worked the whole thing out. Hallelujah. And you know, the young man learned a good lesson. He learned a good lesson. Hallelujah. And I can guarantee you he would never do it again. And it ended up him just having to do some community service. And after 5 years, he got his record expunged. He got it cleared off. Hallelujah. As though it never happened. Hallelujah. So God is able to work these things out. There's always a solution to it in God. Now, the solution may cost you something. It may cost you pain. It may cost you insecurity. It may cost you discomfort. And it might also cost you a little confusion. But if you believe the word of God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm still talking about being born again. Do you remember what Jesus said when they said to him, they came to him and says, your brethren are outside, your family's outside there, and they're wanting you. What did he say? He says, These are my mothers. These are my fathers. These are my children, my brothers and sisters. It wasn't that he wasn't concerned about them. It wasn't that he wasn't fulfilling his obligation toward them. He just was not going to let them interfere with the business of God that was at hand, because he had a word from the Father. He was not attached to this world, nor was this a world attached to him. Hallelujah. And you know the word in John 17, he said of the disciples, I have given them thy word. What word did he give them? The same word that was given to him. The same positioning and commission that was given to him when he was born of Mary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just talking about being born again, brethren. We haven't even got to sanctification. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to take a good, hard look at what it is we are involved with. We need to take a good, hard look, and we need to determine whether we want to be a part of it or not. And if we want to be a part of it, then we have to keep his commandments. Hallelujah. 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 Another situation. I can just give you my testimony. I'm not puffing myself up or anything, just my testimony. My father passed away, and I had been out in another state for many years. Haven't seen him for quite a while because he had been in a state of being comatose, and there was an obligation, a spiritual obligation, that I had of traveling. Hallelujah. And my older brother calls me up and says, Dad has passed. I said, did he go in peace? He said, yes, he did. I said, well, praise the Lord. And I said, are you going to come out for the funeral? Now, I know you guys like funerals. Hallelujah. They're a big family event. They even come from the United States, coming over here to be at the funeral, right? Hallelujah. They spend all that money to come back and bury somebody. Not for the sake of who they're burying, but for the tribal family rigmarole that is around all of it. Come on. Am I telling the truth? Huh? I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of heaven. Some people have missed this conference because of funerals. Or at least I think so. I don't know. And I have two brothers. Hallelujah. And so I got them both on a call a couple days later. I got them both on a call. And I said, brothers, hallelujah, you know, would it upset you? Would it disturb you if I didn't come? Hallelujah. Dad had already passed. Hallelujah. He wasn't there. Mom had gone before him. She wasn't there. Hallelujah. Now, if she would have been there, I might have went to comfort her, but I don't know. But she wasn't. Hallelujah. And I said to him, do you mind if I don't come? I have another obligation. He says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to Africa. Africa seems to get in the way all the time. Hallelujah. And they said, no, there's really no reason for you to come out. Hallelujah. So I didn't go. Not that I didn't love my father, not that I didn't respect my father, but he's gone. And he's with the Lord now. Hallelujah. And I know that he approved of my decision, because he came to me in a dream. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a little easier for me than it is for you, huh? Hallelujah. But nevertheless, is the obligation still there? Is the responsibility still there? Have you ever pondered on that verse? It says, let the dead bury the dead. Have you ever pondered on it? Have you ever asked God what it means? Especially if you have some funeral that you have to go to. You don't really want to go, but you go. Or am I mistaken? Huh? Hallelujah. Which family am I a part of? Am I a family of the household of faith, or am I a part of the household of Asbel? And which one takes the most precedence? Which one takes the preeminence? If I have a sister that needs $100 and she's a sister in the Lord, and I have a brother that is family and needs $100, am I willing to hear God tell me to give it to the sister or not to the brother? Come on! I guarantee you, you'll give it to the brother that's in the family. Why? You're obligated. Hallelujah. For us to understand the reality of the obligation of what it means to be born again. Because I want to tell you something. Father is looking at you. And he's not looking at you as somebody who is outside of the family. He's looking at you as someone who is in his household. Aren't we now supposed to be of the household of faith? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, if I have to come to this position, then I better come to the position where I am able to believe that the Lord is able to take care of my natural family. And that he will do what he needs to do when it needs to be done if I am doing for him what he's requiring of me. So I'm fighting on both fronts. I'm building the faith to believe, and I'm moving in obedience to the calling and the election that is upon my life. And I'm not letting the peripheral things that are temporary interfere or hinder me from my progression in and development and growth. Hallelujah. To come to that, what they call the full stature. Hallelujah. I want to close with that verse. Ephesians 4, hallelujah. All right, yeah, Ephesians 4, hallelujah. I want to start up there at the 10th verse. It says, he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some teachers, and some shepherds. For what? The perfecting of the saints. That means growing, maturing, going from point one to point seven. Hallelujah. To perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the objective. And it's incremental, and it's something that you and I have to participate in. Hallelujah. Now, I want to jump down to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Elohim through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. He's talking about the overshadowing and the encapsulation of the world in which we live and the environment that it consists of as it overshadows us and brings us into union and compatibility with it. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man to the deceitful lust and to the renewing in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. That is the proclamation, and that is the declaration. Hallelujah. Which family are you going to choose? Which orientation are you going to hold on to? And at the end of the day, will it be temporal or eternal? God bless you.